Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. My name is Mike. I am your host this week. Well, actually, every week. But this week, I'm going solo. Kane had some things he had to take care of this week, so I'm going to go ahead and take over. Unfortunately, it would have been a great time to have Kane here with us, because I'm just going to pretty much be talking about Spider-Man No Way Home. I finally got a chance to see it today. And, yeah, just amazing. I kind of had to, like, put it off because I, you know, just life in general came up. And I know some of you have heard, I have a friend of mine, we go to the movies together all the time, and they weren't able to get tickets for, like, our normal Thursday, Friday show that we usually try to go to. But it was kind of funny because usually I try to stay up to date on everything on social media about all the news and the gossips and everything everybody's talking about. I just could not this week because I hadn't seen Spider-Man yet. So I'm literally put myself in exile from social media for the weekend. This was tough to try to avoid. So yeah, we were able to, I was finally able to get there. Got to see it today at noon on a Sunday at the movies, packed house, crazy packed house, which I thought was great to see. I'm not sure. I hadn't got a chance to talk to Kane to see. I think he went Friday after work. So like, I'm thinking he usually probably be like a 9 or 10 o'clock showing. I think he probably ended up going to, and, yeah, so I'm not sure how his crowd was, but again, my crowd there was great. Great audience reactions to the moments that were required, you know, that needed them. I'm not going to spoil anything for you guys here. I'm just kind of going through my feelings, what I saw. I loved the cast that they brought back. I mean, we knew they were bringing back a lot of the older actors that had, you know, portrayed these other characters on the prior Spider-Man movies. So, you know, we did already know that, you know, we had Jamie Foxx coming back as Electro. We did know of Alfred Molina coming back as Doc Ock. And there were a few other little surprises. Some of the rumor mills were spot on about who was coming back. Some weren't. You know, no mutants, as much as everybody was like clamoring to see the mutants. I loved Cumberbatch's take on Doctor Strange again. He nails it, but I think what threw us off is like through the trailer, he kept acting strange, no pun intended, but he acted different than what he normally would. And it was kind of explained as to what's going on and why he is the way he was. And I love the loophole that he talks about between him and Wu, which, again, it's always great to see Wu there. I expected a cameo Shang-Chi. I expected a small little cameo with him because, you know, last we saw them, they ran off with Wu, and I thought maybe we would see sort of like, hey, this is where they ended up, and then they, you know, left from, you know, the Sanctum. I think it was really great. I mean, the story covers a long period of time. This isn't like a few days. This is something that covers a long period of time. We finally get that moment that we've always talked about, you know, when we don't have Peter with his uncle. You know, he's raised by his aunt, and I'd always said that, you know, that Tony was Peter's uncle, so that was what he kept into him, as far as, you know, great responsibility and, you know, that saying. So we finally have a moment where we get that. And I love Jon Favreau in this as Happy. I've always been kind of disappointed how they treated Happy. I think they sort of slighted him a little bit in the MCU and didn't give him – they gave him more of like a butler vibe to it. And I never liked that. And it's still there. But I love how Favreau takes that role and has really just, you know, created his own version of Happy. Sorry about that, guys. I had to grab a quick sip. But yeah, guys, you're going to love it. If you haven't gotten a chance to go see it, go see it. It is fun. Long movie. Very long movie. But it's well worth it. The cameos, the scenes. Make sure you do stay. There are two post-credit scenes, just like typical MCU, but there are two. One I wasn't happy with. I mean, I like where it ended up. But how it ended and the person that they used in that and their short-lived time in the MCU was like very – I wasn't a big fan of it. The second one, amazing. So much a hint of things to come, just like they usually do on those. So make sure you guys do go out and check it out. I love the movie. Thought it was great. I've heard a lot of reviewers saying that it's probably like the best MCU that they've seen. I don't. I think it was good. This was, I think we talked about this last week, Kane and I did, how we've never really truly had a Spider-Man in New York like we had, you know, with Toby and with Andrew, them swinging through the city and doing their thing. This we finally got, which I love the fact that we finally got to see Spider-Man being the neighborhood Spider-Man that we know him as, you know, through everything. He's been more of a big cosmic Spider-Man as of late. Which no problems. I love that seeing that, but I've just missed that groundedness. There's always something that's something that I think that made Spider-Man a fan favorite is because he was that guy from around the block. I think, you know, the scene from Civil War where he and Cap meet for the first time and Cap, you know, talks to him about, you know, the basically where are you from, you know, and you can see it's just two New York guys recognizing each other. And I just never felt that with Tom as Spider-Man until now. So, like I said, we finally got our chance to see the New York Spider-Man swinging through in between the city or the buildings. And just got all that the fun New York vibe that I've always loved with Spider-Man. Because I think when you look back to I'm trying to remember which one is it. No, number one or number two for it. I think it was the second Spider-Man. You know, that scene where Toby as Spider-Man stops the subway, you know, and there's that moment when the New York has his back and the, you know, the citizens of New York City, you know, watch his back and cover him. You know, yeah, we saw who you are, but we don't care. Here's your mask back. I just don't think we ever had that grounded moment for Tom. And we sort of do in this one, which I was happy to see. So make sure you guys do check it out. Great, great, great movie. Like I said, not my favorite MCU. I know. I think for a lot of people, it's like what's new for them is like the best thing. But I think when you sit down in retrospect, that could change. I know that's changed for us. If you guys ever take a look at our Midnight Movies on Here's Asylum, we've went back and redid all the Avengers. That we made a list of what we felt were the important Avenger movies or MCU movies for the Infinity, you know, gauntlet, you know, storyline. And let's say, you know, we've talked about it before, Kane and I have, where we had literally had a moment where we had to sit down there and almost like debate which ones we thought were the right ones. And there were a few movies that really, when they first rolled out, really just were bad. I mean, and they really kept a bad taste in everybody's mouth. It wasn't until, you know, years later in the overall storyline of the Infinity, you know, saga, we finally see that, yeah, those movies at that time, the story hadn't been completed yet. Now we look back and go, okay, that is a better movie than what we remembered. And I guess we're kind of getting that now. It's funny with Star Wars is, you know, now there's this hate passion towards the sequels. But when you looked at the prequels, you know, when they first came out, yeah, they shared that same kind of hate. I think once we get another series of Star Wars movies, I think people are going to look at the sequels a little different. I'm still not a huge fan. I'm not 100% on them. I you know, I'm probably like a 60% on them because there are a lot of plot holes and things I think that they kind of messed up on. But I think the characters were good, and I think the rest of the stories were good, but there's just a lot of these plot holes on that. And I think that's what's going to happen with the rest of this, especially this new phase that we're getting ready to enter in. Well, I'm done talking about Spider-Man. I know I usually will start asking Kane if he's seen these movies or shows that have come out, but we just got the latest Witcher dropped on Friday, season two. I'm on season two. I think I'm on episode 6 or 7. So I'm getting towards the end of this season. And I have to tell you right now, love this season. I've read the Witcher books. And I kind of felt season one, and I hear this a lot from a lot of people, that there was too much jumping around. And season one was really based off of the first two books of the Witchers. Not the first initial book. There are two prequels that came out for the Witcher series. And that's kind of what season one is. Season two really is more about the book Blood of Elves, and which is technically, by release standards, the first book of the Witcher series. So they really captured that. And it was great to see everybody back. It's just funny. I was talking to a friend of mine about the age gap because of how long it took between the seasons to get back together. Like the actress that had played Ciri, I think at the time when they did the first season, she was like 16. So around the age was spot on. Now she's 20, but she's still supposed to be playing this 16, year old kid. And you just, her acting has stepped up, and you can just see that she is a young woman in this now. And it's kind of funny to watch it, but I'm really enjoying everything that she is she's bringing to the character now. And of course, we do have Yennefer comes back, we have Geralt back, and so it's great to see everybody back, and the story really holds together a lot better than season two. So if anybody watched season one and was like, I don't know if I want to sign up again for this ride, do it. It's so much better than season one, and I think the flavor of it has changed too. It is funny to watch how Witcher season two. And then you were looking at like the Wheel of Time right now, it's getting better in the eyes of a lot of the book purists that are out there, because there is a lot that they jump around, and I've explained it before. We're talking 14 book series, and 15 if you count the prequel. There's one prequel book for them. But yeah, there's a lot that they miss. They have to jump over. Some characters have to be introduced quickly. We can't have this, long introduction to these characters. This episode, the latest episode that came out, we got introduced to Min. Min is cast a little bit older than what she is in the book, because in the book, and I don't know if they're going to follow this, but in the book, Min, the seer, that the bartender that's can see the future, she is actually a primary love interest to Rand. And so that's why I'm not sure if they're going to continue that idea, because they are relying heavily on the love story of Egwene and Rand. And that's something that I had talked about early on. I was like, I don't see why they're pushing this heavy love story with them, because really in the books they were young kids that they knew they loved each other, and they just had this infatuation with each other, but they had never taken that step. They made the comment that the women's circle in Two Rivers, that the women had pretty much said, they will be betrothed, because we obviously see that there's this connection, this tension between them, but we never got to that point. And really, almost think about this point in the book, Egwene has already told Rand, hey, I'm not wanting to do this. I'm wanting to follow my other path. I love you to death. You're very extremely important to me, but I need to follow my other path first. And we haven't gotten that. And like I said, with the introduction of Min, I really don't think we're going to follow the rest of the way. And I did see, I didn't, we didn't have Matt in this one, and I don't know whatever happened between the directors, the showrunners, and the actor that was playing Matt. We're not sure what happened, but in next season, he is replaced by a different actor. There has been nothing in the news, nothing in the wire about what happened. Like, did he disagree with something? Did they disagree with him? All we have heard is that it was a amicable split, and he won't be returning, and they recast somebody else. So I don't know, in the writing and the filming of this is what caused it. I had no idea. I know there's been rumors about it, that there was acting issues, or that it was a COVID issue, but I think that I don't know if that was the main reason, because I mean, most of these guys are, this cast is outside and not really in closed areas, so I don't know if they have to worry about that level of it so much. I do know that we're hearing rumors from the Black Panther group that series probably won't be coming back, because the actress is very anti-vax and doesn't want to get her shot. So we're starting to kind of see some of those things happen, and that's, unfortunately, we just got to be patient with the time that we're in right now, and I think everything will come around eventually. So with Wheel of Time, again, perfect episode to me. That was like one of their spot on episodes. continually just getting better and better and better. They've built their world up finally. Again, like I said, a lot of the book purists fought that. And I will admit, I was one of them on the first episode. I was like, what the hell am I watching? That's not the world I knew. And Raffi, the showrunner for the show and writer, he kind of explained why he had to make these changes. And again, it does come down to that concept that, yeah, there are 14 books. There are a ton of characters. Some people are going to have to get the fat cut. And that happens when books get, you know, converted to any sort of, you know, media, other than obviously audiobooks, but, you know, TV, movies. And that's happened also with The Expanse, the show The Expanse that's out. They actually had to take a few characters and mold them into one. The biggest one I can think of is Drummer. She was actually three characters rolled into one. And I love the fact that they do that because I love her character and her story and her arc and who she is deep down. And there's adding those extra layers to her made her a stronger character than what she was in the book. I liked her in the book, but I love her in the series. Last week we finally got the second to last episode of Hawkeye. Spoilers, guys, if you have not watched Hawkeye, I may talk a bit. I'm going to try not to spoil it. But I think this is a great episode because what last we saw was Hawkeye and Haley kind of sort of like separated after them getting beat down by Elena and Echo. And so, you know, Hawkeye's like, hey, listen, no, this is serious. I have a Black Widow after me now. He doesn't know who it is just yet. All he knows is there's a Black Widow after him, and he knows, you know, his history and everything with Natasha, that what those Black Widows can do. And so, you know, he's like, you need to go away. She understands it, but at the same time, she still in her heart knows that she needs to be there for him. We're still nothing yet about the Watch. I know there's some news trying to come down about the Watch, but still nothing. I think one of my favorite episodes, and it's this always comes down to it because I loved her in Black Widow, but Hugo, she just captures Elena perfectly. This strange uncomfortableness, but yet she's comfortable in her body and about who she is and what she does. And it makes other people uncomfortable because of how comfortable she is. Like, she knows what she is and what she can do. And there's a nice little Easter egg. Her and Haley meet up. And they sit down and basically have dinner together. In a very awkward dining experience. And the food they choose, or she chooses, is mac and cheese. And if anybody remembers back from Black Widow, the movie, when they were little kids, her mom asked her, well, what do you want for dinner? Mac and cheese. Oh, honey, that's great. I think she said, I'd love some, you know, beluga caviar. So it's kind of funny. She's finally getting her mac and cheese down the road. But she loves hot sauce on it. And just it's a very fun scene. We find that Haley starts digging a little bit deeper into not just her past, but she starts like trying to dig in deeper about who's after her, who hired Elena, and she starts digging in a little bit about her mom, her mom's boyfriend, the Swordsmaster. Then we also get a chance to see Clint have a really good heart-to-heart with his wife. I mean, they've had moments where they've talked, but there was a really deep heart-to-heart conversation about, hey, you know, this is what we're going to have to do. I'm going to have to do this. And then they make the comment about somebody coming after them, and they still don't know who the guy is that's coming after them. And so where they're just trying to stay on their toes about who it could be. Haley and Elena do form some little weird relationship. She gives her number to Haley, and so we start seeing that. Then we see Hawkeye and Echo have a moment out within the car lot at the Fat Man's Automotive, and they kind of talk about what's going on, and he kind of tells her, hey, you need to dig a little bit deeper about, you know, why, what happened to your dad, because, you know, he knows a little bit more about who was there, who wasn't, and, you know, plants a little bug in her ear that, hey, you know what, who you think is you know, who's got your back is not who's got your back in this. And then basically the episode ends with Elena sending Haley a picture of her mom and somebody else who says that that's who's hired Elena. And she's, I mean, she points out her mom saying, hey, your mom's hired Elena. But there's a picture that was snapped on a cell phone, a little blurry, grainy little picture showing somebody standing next to her. And that's the big break. I mean, the big pop on when it comes to the, to that episode, and a great cliffhanger to end it. So somebody is introduced that we've seen before. We've all pretty much, you know, everybody's been screaming it all over the internet. But it's nice to see that this person's coming back. And then in Spider-Man No Way Home, somebody from that show also makes an appearance. So we're starting to see some of the Netflix cast showing up. I think the big question that I know I have, I'm sure Kane has, is Netflix show going to be canon? Or are we just saying these actors who are portraying these people are just here and they're going to get a new story? I think, and I know, I'm sure Feige doesn't like to pick up. I mean, it's a very creative control kind of situation. You know, I know a lot of if there are any wrestling fans out there, you know, WWE Vince McMahon, when he hires a wrestler from another promotion, he tries to break them away from their other character and give them their own character because he wants to own their IP, their intellectual property. And I could see Kevin being very similar to that. Kevin definitely has some Vince McMahon tendencies. So I could definitely see him saying, yo, we're going to bring this character in, this actor in, but we're not going to say that is canon. But again, we're in that multiverse moment right now. And so that could change. I mean, he could say, well, you know what, that was the multiverse. They have a simple way of doing it. Yeah, everybody's going multiverse crazy. I just watched a movie on Amazon Prime. Check it out. It's called Parallels, and it's a multiverse kind of scenario, talking about, you know, how, you know, if these group of kids find this mirror that can take them to different multiverses, and it's an interesting twist. There's also a new movie coming out. What was it? Everything, Always. I'm trying to remember. It's a weird title. I think it's got Michelle Yeoh on it, and she basically, if anybody's ever seen the movie The One with Jet Li, it's kind of a twist on that, but it looks so much better. So it looks so much fun. They added, you know, actually adding a humor element to this whole multiverse thing. So, I think we got another couple of more years where the multiverse will be the it thing in comic books and sci-fi. And hopefully it will go back to normal where a multiverse or a mirrorverse was something that was great to see every once in a while. I'm kind of getting burnt out on all the multiverse talk. And I think that was all the shows that came out. We had The Witcher. We had Hawkeye. The Expanse. I haven't seen a lot of folks talking about The Expanse on their Facebook page. So I don't think there's a lot of fan base out there for it. But if you guys have never checked it out, I'm always going to be a proponent for it. To me, The Expanse has been the best sci-fi on television right now. I'm not saying in general. But I think right now it has been the best sci-fi. It's refreshing. It's different. And I love the stories, and the characters are just so well written, even from the point from the book to, like I was saying, you know, about Drummer, you know, just where they take them, they just add a little layer, something, a little extra spice, kick it up a notch. And I definitely like what they do on that one. And I'm trying to think what else we had this week. Drawing a blank. There's just so much TV out right now, guys. It's just driving me up the wall. I don't have the time. I'm trying to read because I've really picked up on reading ever since COVID came in. So I try to at least do like one book a week, or sometimes, you know, two if I can squeeze them in. And just this last month has just been nuts because I've been like trying to watch more television there because there's just so much out. Hopefully by the new year it'll slow down. So make sure you guys do check that out. This will be technically sort of like the last hurrah for Heroes Asylum for this year, for 2021. Next week is our last show of 2021. I'm going to try to get with Kane. I'd like to kind of put together kind of like a rundown. I think we did this 2 years ago where we did like a rundown of kind of the best of the year. Like, you know, what do we feel is like the best movie? What, you know, what show did we feel, you know, was the best shows? Just kind of give a rundown of what we thought, you know, was great this year in our little genre. And maybe throw in some more. We've got some great plans for the Midnight Movie for Heroes Asylum next year. So look out for it. We do have to finish up our Matrix month, because we do have the Matrix Resurrection coming out, which I cannot wait. I'm so excited to see that. And then also, I think the Kingsman is coming out at the end of the month as well. I think the same day as the Matrix. So make sure you guys do check that out. And then on the Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies in January, we are starting our X Games movies. We're digging up some old movies. I think on the list was Rad, Gleaming the Cube, Point Break, the original Point Break, and I can't remember the fourth movie, but yeah, that's kind of the breakdown that we're gonna have. So if anybody's ready to enjoy some like kick-ass 80s movies and some little 80s cheese, you know, you can't go wrong with young Christian Slater and Gleaming the Cube. So we're going to have some fun with that. So make sure you guys do check us out. Thank you guys again, everybody, for on the Facebook page. You guys have been a blast this year. Everybody's been joining in. I have not been keeping up on the daily events. I think we're going to start that up again in January. It's just been so crazy at the end of the year. You know, everybody is. It's not just me. But yeah, everybody gets a little crazy and busier than normal. But we'll be coming back, and I hope you guys have a great holiday. If we don't talk to you, or if you guys don't hear from us again on that, just have a great Christmas, holidays, whatever it is, and make sure you guys get to the asylum.